little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine just a little bit louder. You got it? A little louder? A little. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's better. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. In the bushel part, right? Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You know that part about won't let Satan. And then you don't say, but you say, right? Won't let. You know that part? All right, good. Do that loud, but don't spit on anybody. I won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And for how long? Till Jesus comes, right? Wonderful. Would you take your Bible and open to 2 Kings? 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings 21 in your Bible. Really love this church. Glad to be here. Very honored to be here. Glad for Pastor Seeley. He's a friend. He's been a friend to me. And he is God's man. No doubt about it, for this day and this time here in Clatskanie, Oregon, no question about it. And I'm glad that he's your pastor, and I'm also glad that you sent him away for a little while, right? Only to return. And I'm glad that things continue. One of the signs of good leadership in the church is when the pastor's away, what happens? That's a good sign of leadership in the church. All things should continue, amen? It shouldn't be all just one person who is the doing everything, but a good sign of leadership. And that also goes back, by the way, to Pastor Bond, amen, and what leadership he had. That what happens when Pastor Bond goes to heaven? Is that the end of Beaver Falls Baptist Church? Well, if it was built on a man, then the answer would be yes, that's the end. But that's not the end. And God always has somebody if people are willing to follow. So I'm glad to be here, and I love this church, and I love your care for us, and I appreciate it. 2 Kings chapter 21. I want to bring to you a message that the Lord put in my heart when I was a young person. When I say young, I was probably 18 or 19 in that time frame when I was teaching a third grade class, and I began to teach through some of the things in the Old Testament. And this what I'm about to share with you just burned in my heart, and it's a message that I have applied to my life, and I think it's good for young people. And I like preaching at Beaver Falls Baptist Church because there's more young people here, I think, than any other church that I would preach at of this size. And I love to see all the young people. And so keep that up, amen. Go get you some more babies or do what you got to do and, you know, bring some more young kids into church. But keep that up. And I love it because I was a young little boy. I was brought to church probably before I was born. And I was brought to church in the morning, and I was brought to church at night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was brought to church on Wednesday night, and we just went to church all the time. And my dad would let me sleep in church, but he wouldn't let me talk in church. And in fact, my sister told me years later, and in fact, not that long ago, she told me one of the most embarrassing moments of her life when I was about maybe this little guy's age, maybe a little bit bigger, and my dad would let me sleep, and I would sleep under the pew. And my parents would sit up front, and the pastor was up preaching. I guess I got a little antsy, and I started rolling while I was under the pew. And I rolled out a little bit and then rolled back in. My parents couldn't see it, but my sister could. And I rolled out a little further, and then I rolled back. And then finally I rolled all the way to the platform and rolled all the way back, and she about died, I guess. And I don't even remember it. But that's how long I've been in church. And what I've seen is that people get in church even at an early age, and you think, well, boy, they were brought up in church, they're going to turn out okay. But how many of you know that's not necessarily true? You know that's not true, right? Just because you're brought up in church doesn't guarantee, just because you're in a good home doesn't guarantee everything's going to be okay. And so let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 21. And if you're able to, would you stand with me for a moment, and we'll read a couple of places, and then we'll be seated, and I'll bring the message God put on my heart for today. 2 Kings 21, verse number 1, and especially if you're 6 years old and older, I hope you got your Bible open. I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're looking. I know you got to carry babies sometimes, but if you're able to, look on and see. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. 12. How many of you are 12 years old? Between 12 and 20. And are you ready to reign over a kingdom? 12 years old. If you're saved and you're 12 years old and you're saved, I would rather you be our president. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. You can be 12 years old and do evil. Amen? You can be 12 and do evil. 12 years old. They say, well, the kid killed somebody. Let's not try him as an adult. He was just 12. I expect a lot more out of a 12-year-old, and so does God, than some people do. Look with me down to verse number 17. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now, Manasseh did straighten out for a while, but still, God's record of him is he did evil. That was his summation of his life. Verse 18, are you looking with me? Especially if you're 12 years old, between 7 and 18, listen carefully. And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, the old saying is, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Verse 19, and Amon is 22 years old. Think about it. How many of you are 22 years old and you're ready to be president of the United States? 22 years old and younger, between 12 and 22, and put in that position of being the leader of the whole nation. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Evil kings didn't make it very long, usually. And his mother's name was Methuselah, the daughter of Haraz of Jobah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked, and served the idols that his father served, and worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. Down to verse 25, now the rest of the acts of Amon which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in a sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. Now, but before we finish reading, this is what I want you to see. Manasseh did that which was evil. Amon did that which was evil. And now Josiah is 8 years old. The youngest yet to take over the kingdom in this family. The youngest yet. 8 years old. Now, how many of you are between 8 and 22? 8 years old when he began to reign. And we look at Grandpa, Josiah's grandpa, and no account. And you go to Amon, and Amon, Now, evil, evil, what chance has the kid got? You know what I mean? What chance has he got? He's got a wicked grandfather. He's got a wicked father. Now here comes Josiah, 8 years old. And listen carefully what the Word of God says. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Bochath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Somebody say amen. He did that which was right. 8 years old. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Are you glad for Josiah at 8 years old that knew the difference between right and wrong and did the right? Father, please be with your word now and use it in our hearts and help me, Lord, to preach your word in a way that it was meant to be preached, Lord, in power and in truth and in conviction. And Lord, I pray now that you would speak to every heart, including my own. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill each of your believers with the Holy Spirit of God that they might have ears to hear. And Lord, I pray even from the young age of maybe even from 5, all the way up through to the oldest person, whoever that may be. Lord, would you help us to see what it's like to have a people who do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. God, take away our excuses today and cause us to walk in your will and in your way. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts. We thank you for all of the singing, all of the Lord, the church service, and those that made and braved the snow today to be in church. Now, God, fill us with your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. He did that. 8 years old. Now, how many of you are 8 and older? 8 and older. Okay. All right. 8 and older. So 8 years old. Let me tell you what's on my heart today. Listen, I was a little kid in church. I mean, just I've been at every one of these ages. At every one of these ages over here. Listen to me. Young people, some of you are, you believe.
Some of you is right in here and you're listening and you know. Some of you, even if everything looks right on the outside, time will tell, my friend. Time will tell. The day will reveal it. And you're going to be outed. And you still have a chance today to turn your heart around and say, I better just not have it up here. I better have it. 8 years old. God knows what's going on in your heart. Doesn't He? God knows what you think about. Hey, you can obey on the outside. You can make it look good on the outside. You can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool God. And it's going to come out. 8 years old. And I thought about, wow, when you're just a little kid. I got saved when I was 5. When I say I got saved, I mean I was saved. I knew I got saved. I've never been perfect. I've never done everything exactly right. But in my heart, I knew God. And in my heart, I know God. And in my heart, I want to do what's right. And I have a desire to follow after God. Even when I do wrong, there's a conviction in my heart that says, I know I shouldn't be doing this. And God just doesn't leave me alone with it. I've got to get on the right track. Manasseh, 12 years old. Ammon, 22 years old. Josiah, 8 years old. Little 8-year-old boy, and he's in charge of the whole place. And God said He did that which was right. How many of you want to do right? You want to do right? You want to do right? You want to be able, God, if God were to write your book, if God were to write your story, do you want Him to put in there? And He did that. And she did that which was right. And He did that which was right. That's what I want God to say about me. Look, a lot of people are going to say a lot of things. And they do. Let them yak and yammer. Let them say what they want. I care what God says. And God says Josiah did right in the sight of the Lord. I want to give you 3 ways that you can do what's right. And 3 things, you could find more perhaps, but let me just give you 3 ways that Josiah lived his life in a way that will help you today. And if you'll maybe jot them down, take note of them, they're easy to remember. And the first thing I want to point out is this, as we read through, let's read a little bit. He was 8 years old, verse 2, and he did that which was right. And we know he walked in the way of David, his father, verse number 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Listen carefully in verse number 8. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book. I have found the book. They're cleaning out the place. You get the idea? It'd be like in our day, if people just quit meeting in his house, and if cobwebs grew over it, and people said, well, I'm just not feeling so well. And people said, oh, there's a lion in the street. I got a lot to do. And one by one, people started dropping off. And all these seats where there's place for people, they say, well, I'll just stay home and watch the live stream. I won't go to church. And boy, God, get a hold of your heart. Amen? It's okay to say amen in church, huh? Amen. Little by little. I used to tell people we were doing a live stream, I'd say, listen, if you're home and you've got a good reason, then I hope you enjoy the live stream. If not, we have top men on this, and you are being infected with a virus right now, and your computer is self-destructing. Sit at home in your pajamas and pretend, hey, be assembled. Imagine with me for a minute that people just one by one begin to drop off, and then years go by, and this place is full of cobwebs, and nobody meets here anymore, and there's no one using the parking lot, and no, this holy desk hasn't been preached from, and it just becomes a nothing, and it's all empty. And then one day, some little 8-year-old kid says, hey, My dad used to preach at that church. Let's go clean it up. And while they're there cleaning up, they find the Bible. Hey, what's this? Like they've never seen it before. You get the picture? And they pick it up and they start reading it. That's what happened.
When Josiah sent the people in, no, it wasn't the Old and New Testament, but it was the Law and the Prophets. And they began to read all that God said. Do you know some of the things that were in there? Some of the things that were written in there was Solomon's prayer. Oh God, we dedicate this place to you, right? And if my people, which are called by my name, that was in there. And they found it. Number one, if you want God to say, hey, you did that which was right. I saw you. Other people discounted you, but I knew. I watched you. You did right. Number one, find the Word of God. Find the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, it's right there in your hand. I mean, I've got it in my butt. No, listen to me carefully. Find it. Seek it. I know you got a copy. I know you carry it with you. But dig into it and read it and study it and make it your own. Make it yours. Read it. It's real. I was 5 when God saved me. I'm 46 now. Better now than it was when I was 5. And it's still real. And if you hadn't figured that out, I don't care how old you are. I'm not talking about just hearing it. I'm talking about hearing this. You get what I'm saying? Bury it deep. Make it yours. And they found the Word of God.
Look at what happened in verse number 10.
And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He heard it. He didn't just let it go in one ear and out the other. He wasn't like what Jesus said, some of you have ears, but you don't hear. You're like the false gods. You have ears, but you don't hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he heard it. And why did he rend his clothes? We don't do that today. But in this day, when you were full of grief and full of sorrow and full of remorse and recompense, they would rend their clothes saying, I'm unworthy, I'm wretched, I'm undone in my own heart. And he read it and he listened to it. Read it and heed it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Find the Word of God. I wonder if you'd say in your heart today, I wonder if you'd make a decision in your heart between you and God, I will find it. I will follow it. I will find it. I will find the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Samuel didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. The words of the Lord are pure words. The words are important. The words of this book, they will change your life. These are not just normal everyday words. All the letters and all the words in this book are words that we can use. But you understand the way that God put them together in this holy book? This is power. This is the power of God. Believe it. Will you do that today? If you're 8 years old and older, will you do that? When you get in it, will you read it? Not just because you have to, but listen, will you read it? Listen. 8 years old. And he did, and he knew more than him, and he knew more than Vanessa. 8 years old. God uses little boys. God uses little girls. There's a lad here, which have 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they? Hey, who would despise a big small thing? Wasn't it a still small voice from the power of God's voice? I'm telling you, God can do a whole lot with his little kids. God can do a whole lot with old people. God can do a whole lot with anyone. We have to surrender. Find the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation
all the day. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and to a light unto my path. And a light unto my path. You know those verses, don't you? You know that's in the Word of God. But it isn't just, oh yeah, I have to learn this verse. No. Find the Word of God. Here's the next thing he did. Chapter 22, verse number 3. Would you look there? Would you open your Bible and look? Chapter 22 and verse number 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber, hewn stone, to repair the house. The next thing Josiah did, not only did he find the Word of God, but the next thing he did was this. He financed the work of God. He financed the work of God. He gave. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I believe in storehouse tithing. I believe in the local New Testament church. I don't believe you take your tithe and throw it out the window somewhere. People have misused. Have you ever heard this one misused? That says, well, the Bible says, buy whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. People who totally don't understand that you're supposed to turn it into money over here. You carry the gold with you over here. And then you buy the things that are required for the offering over here. I don't know if you've ever heard people dink around with that verse, but they really ripped that one up really good. I can just take my tithe and buy whatever my soul lusteth after. And they really messed that up. No, the temple of God is the house of the living God, which is the church. Makes it very clear in the New Testament. The church is the house of God. This is the house of God. And God's house isn't your house, amen? And your house isn't God's house. And the Bible says you ought to know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. And so where does the tithe belong? It belongs in the house of God. Paul said, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Even so. And what he's talking about is, have you not read how that God took care of the priest? How did he do that? With the tithes and offerings. That's how the priests were taken care of. Even so. What does even so mean? Hey, there's the example. Used to be a temple, right? Used to be tithes and offerings. Came into the church. All of God's men were taken care of and provided for. They didn't have their inheritance was the priesthood. Have ye not read? And the saints say, well, there's no temple, no more tithe. That's what some people do today. Have you lost your ever-loving minds? This is the temple of God. It's the local church. It's an assembly. You can't live stream that, amen? That's here. That's now. Bring the tithes into the house of God. Finance the work of God. I was real young. I remember as just a little boy. Just a little boy. You ever mow the grass for somebody and get some money? You ever fix something and get some money? You ever do some laundry or make a cake? Or you ever fix something or babysit or fix the car? You ever do anything and get some money? You ever do that? If not, you better start. Learn how to do something. Don't want to be useless. And you got paid. How many of you ever got paid $10 before? You got $10. I was real young whenever I make some money. Real young, and I knew, and I'm terrible at math, but I learned percentages when I was real young. I knew that if I got $10, how much belongs to God? Amen. Sneak it right out. How much do I need to tithe on that? $1. And then when I was a real little kid, and even earning $10 and mowing some grass, $1 came in. Man, I remember as a kid going to church. Look at
and then even older as an airman and in the Air Force, and began to earn more money and more money. It just got a lot easier because I learned when I was young to finance the work of God. And you're right, brother, it's all God's. But 10% of it belongs in the storehouse as an entry level. Just getting started. By the way, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to be very direct. If you don't do that, you're a thief.
And if I were going to steal from somebody, I'd sooner steal from a bank than from God. I might get away with it with the bank, amen? You're not going to get away with it with God. And a thief is a thief is a thief. And God said, "You have robbed me." Josiah, he found the word of God and he financed the work of God. Therefore, and this is a mission gift in 2 Corinthians 8:7, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of other. And so the mission offering, and by the way, that is a mission offering. That is not the tithe. It's amazing how many people say, "Well, that's the tithe." No. That's not the tithe. That was a mission offering. That was an over and abundance offering. That was a generosity offering. And he says, "I speak not by commandment." People say, "Well, it's not commanded of God." No, that's the mission offering. And then he says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love." It's not a command. You don't have to do it. It's a test of your love. Amen. The mission offering isn't commanded. It just, if you love God, you can do it. If you don't love God, I don't care how old you are. When you're little, get in on it. Find the word of God. Finance the work of God. And then, would you look with me at chapter 23. Do you love the story of David and Goliath? You like that story? Old David. You like the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they wouldn't bow, and they just stood for God no matter how old they were. Look with me at chapter 23, verse number 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. In the house of the Lord were idols. Wicked idols. Things for worshiping false gods. And they were in the temple. And Josiah knew after reading the word, get it out. Amen? Get it out. Hey, young people. Hey, old people. Whoever you are. Middle-aged people. Get it out. It's an idol. Get it out. Say, "Oh, we would never bring that in the house of the Lord." You bring it in your house. Get it out. Pray about what's in your house. Pray about what you allow. And what did he do? He got rid of that stuff. Look at verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests. When he says he put them down, that's like how you would put down an animal that was rabid. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. Can you believe Christians, or they say they're Christians, look in the horoscope? Can you believe the Christians will be involved in Harry Potter and Dungeons and Dragons and all kinds of witchcraft? And that, can you believe Christians would be involved in witchcraft? They are. They are. I know them personally. They're involved in this stuff. Look at verse 6. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the house of the Sodomites. He brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the grove. Sodomites were camping around the house of the Lord. Could it get so bad? Listen, fasten your seatbelt, boys and girls. America is right at the edge of that, if not already over the top. Look at verse 8. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gate. And Joshua, the governor of the cities, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son and the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber. Nathan-Melech and the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtaroth, the abomination of Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. That's a great prophecy, by the way, that we won't talk about today. But listen, the Bible says we've got some enemies. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, young person, you've got an enemy, and he is the devil, and he is real, and he's out there. Fight the enemies of God. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites. He fought. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they that are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you know there are people who are enemies of the cross of Christ? The devil's the enemy, but you know, people have made themselves enemies of Christ. They're enemies of God. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So what did Josiah do? He found the word of God. He financed the work of God and he fought the enemies of God. Every one of us in this room today can do that. All of us can find the word of God. We can all finance the work of God and we can fight the enemies of God. I'd love to see it, wouldn't you? I'd love to see some young people make a decision today and say, you know what? I may be young. Maybe some don't even take me seriously. But oh, listen, there's potential, great potential. You can do it. And some of you are listening and some of you are paying attention and some of you are going to do it. What if you're a rebel today? What if in your heart, if you were honest, you'd have to admit, I'm listening, but I'm not doing it. Boy, when I turn, whatever age you think turns you into a man or turns you into a woman, in your heart, maybe you're thinking, yeah, when I turn this age, I'm going to get out of here. Maybe that's in your heart. Listen to me carefully. It's not too late for you to fix yourself. It's not too late for you to say, God, help me in my wicked thoughts. I surrender to the authority of my life. I surrender to my mom and dad. I surrender to the authority of this church. I surrender to God's book. You can. If you're a young person and in your heart, you're trying to do right. You're doing the best you can. And you have a heart for God. I believe in you. All right? I do. I've been there. And the going will get tough. And the devil will try to get you off track. And you will feel the pull of the world. And you will feel the pull of things in the flesh. They will pull on you. But I believe in you. Just get a hold, will you? Just get a hold of it. And whenever you've strayed away from God, whenever your heart has gotten cold, you get back down to this altar. You get back down here. You go back to the place where you last knew God was in your life. And you go back and say, God, I'm back. And I'm sorry. God, let's start. And He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a rebel, get right. If you're following God, stay hard after it. And know this, God wants you to stay with Him more than you want it. And He's going to work with you. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. He will perform it. Lord, please now be with Your word as I preached it. I thank You for the liberty to preach. I thank You for everyone that paid attention. And Lord, I pray now that You would go with Your word and cause it to do what You want it to do. And I pray in Jesus' name.